This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to The Hindu's In Focus podcast. I'm Anand Krishnan, your host for today. Just a week before a meeting of the Quad leaders in Washington, Australia, the US, and the UK announced on September 15th a new trilateral security partnership for the Indo-Pacific between Australia, the UK, and the US called AUKUS. As part of this, Australia will acquire nuclear-powered submarines with help from the UK and the US. What does this new trilateral grouping mean for the Quad and for India? And how has the world reacted to it, including France, which has hit out at this new arrangement, as well as China, which has said that three countries are looking to contain Beijing? Joining me to make sense of this new trilateral arrangement and what it means for the region are Suhasini Haider, The Hindu's national editor, as well as Dinakar Perry, who reports on defense issues for The Hindu in New Delhi. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you, Anand.
Thank you, Anand.
Suhasini, if I can come to you first, what did you make of this new announcement, which seemed to come out of the blue? And what has India said so far, if anything at all, about this new arrangement, given that everyone has been focusing on the Quad being at the center of attention as a security arrangement for the Indo-Pacific? So how has this arrangement sort of come out in a few days right before what was supposed to be a much celebrated first in-person meeting of the Quad leaders?
Precisely. I mean, the timing, if you like, could not have been more awkward, if I could play on the AUKUS term, which many have already done. The truth is, it comes 1 week before what was to have been the main item, you know, the Quad summit of the four leaders meeting for the first time face to face. A lot of trouble has gone into the summit. The Japanese prime minister was due to step down from office just a week later. Had actually suggested that the summit took off, and all the others were keen to go. The Japanese prime minister, Yoshihide Suga, will to Washington just office just to make the point that there is a confluence of minds. There's a very serious sort of a push for the Quad summit, and then we see the announcement of we have heard already that Australian officials had informed India about, but not that the US had informed India about it. Now, and yet, from the Indian point of view, there has been absolutely no reaction. We've asked the Ministry of External Affairs for a reaction, and we didn't receive one. And similarly, we have, we've been waiting for some kind of a statement made on how India sees this new formation in the Indo-Pacific. Maybe there will be one closer to the date or in Washington itself. Remember, there are three or four moving parts to this. There's China's reaction, which, of course, you've been covering, that India has to watch out for. There is also the reaction from France now, that very angry reaction. And India is a very close strategic partner of France's. We do actually have a nuclear relationship. We discuss a lot of these issues as well. And then there is the third part of it, which has not really been spoken about much, which is India's basic concerns with proliferation. If, for example, the world turns a blind eye as the US announces a new nuclear partnership with Australia that does not have access to this technology. In fact, Australia is going to be one of those very rare situations where they don't actually use nuclear power themselves, and they don't have, they don't have a nuclear program, but they are going to be running nuclear submarines. India could face this kind of a situation from other players who are nuclear capable as well. And that is something India has always been against, whether it has been Iran, whether it has been China's support to Pakistan or to North Korea. So there are a lot of very important impacts or repercussions from this AUKUS alliance that has been announced. Of course, many are hoping that what it essentially is going to mean for India is two things. One, that this will solidify the Indo-Pacific partnership. So this will bring the United Kingdom as well into an already loose sort of coalition between the four democracies, US, India, Japan, and Australia. And the second part to it, which is another sort of possible silver lining for India, is the idea that if France is not going to be able to complete its deal with Australia on the nuclear submarines, then India could perhaps be a beneficiary of that technology. So there are a lot of parts to this. Anantan, as I said, India has not yet put out a statement, has not yet conveyed a reaction.
We will come back, Suhasini, to the really fascinating points that you made, and we will come back a little bit in terms of the positives and negatives for India. But Suhasini, on the French reaction that you said, just for our listeners, on Friday, France said it was actually recalling its ambassadors to the US and Australia. And of course, the heart of the source of anger for the French is that because of this arrangement, Australia scrapped this huge deal from France for conventional submarines that it was supposed to buy. On Saturday, you had France's foreign minister who hit out at what he called, quote, the duplicity, disdain, and lies of Australia. And of course, they're equally angry at America as well. It's quite curious. They don't seem to be very angry at the UK, some jokingly saying that the French, either reflecting the fact that they looked at the insignificance of the UK or they expected it from the UK, we don't quite know. Dinakar, you reported a little bit about how Australia has sort of framed this deal vis-a-vis the significance for India. Can you tell us a little bit about what the Australian ambassador to India has been saying about this new arrangement and specifically what he said this would actually mean as far as India-Australia defense ties in particular?
So, Anand, the Australian High Commissioner here did a briefing last week, as you mentioned. And so there he tried to position the AUKUS as a arrangement which will complement the Quad grouping and other cooperation mechanisms in the region. See, for instance, Australia, India, and France, or India, Australia, and Indonesia. And there has been interest between India and Australia to build on similar formats with the other ASEAN countries. But now, the reaction of ASEAN countries itself has been quite varied, from welcoming, some being, doubtful of how this will play out. And now, in fact, Australia is trying to address each of those concerns. I mean, there have been, in fact, today morning saying they are dispatching, their officials to address those concerns with ASEAN countries. So essentially, they allay those apprehensions in a way, saying political platform or platform for consultations, and which will kind of work together with this arrangement. So again, to put the AUKUS consultation mechanism as it's been put out, it's more of a platform for high technology cooperation between these three countries. And in the first phase, as the document referred to, UK and US would be assisting Australia in acquiring submarines, or SSNs as they are referred to, at least 8 of them in the near future, apart from other high-end and high-technology missiles and etc. So as on it, it does not seem more of a consultation mechanism, but more of a high-technology cooperation group. So how the trajectory will shift is a different question, which as of now, no one is talking about.
Dinakar, very quickly on the point of nuclear submarines that you mentioned, what makes them so significant? And that has been actually the source of ire. For instance, China has been particularly upset about the fact that under this arrangement, Australia will be getting them. Obviously, the Australians argued that this was a valid reason why they scrapped the deal for conventional submarines from France. Can you just give us some perspective on what makes these nuclear submarines so significant?
They're operational as a military platform. The other is the whole aspect of the nuclear itself, which brings in the question of proliferation and so on and so forth, which Suhasini had also referred to earlier. So from the military point of view, Australia said was that a conventional submarine has limitations. So given the threats in the region, the territorial claims in South China Sea, as even the High Commissioner referred to, territorial Taiwan, South China Sea, etc., what Australia says is that these nuclear-powered submarines, to make a distinction from the strategic platforms, nuclear-powered submarines would give them unlimited range and endurance for Australia to safeguard, assert, in the Indo-Pacific region, along with other partners, including India, as Australia said. So yes, from a military point of view, that makes sense. But then the real issue, which brought the sharp reaction from Beijing, is that the proliferation concern. As pointed out, Australia does not have anything to do with nuclear. I mean, they have stayed away from the nuclear domain in any manner. So now effectively they will be operating a nuclear powered submarine, even though provided by US and UK, and will be taken care of by them. The fact that Australia as a country will be operating these military high-end military platforms is in itself significant in many ways, because it takes the whole military dynamic to a different level, and which sets a new precedence in the global order for nuclear platforms. So there are very few examples, if you go across, where such a thing has happened. I mean, India has been leased twice, in fact, nuclear powered submarines from then Soviet Union, then Russia. But that's it. And India otherwise has its own program, which is underway. But apart from that, there are very few examples. Now this sets a new precedence on how this is taken forward and how this will play out in future by other countries, or even China or anyone else, is, you know, how this will unfold. That's the real risk of it. I mean, in sense, on the nuclear proliferation or setting a precedence for it for other countries to follow in future.
Suhasini, ostensibly, this is about the Indo-Pacific. That's what all the three countries have been saying. But for a grouping that's ostensibly about the Indo-Pacific, what's striking is the composition of its members. The Hindu had an editorial, which we'd linked to below this, was saying that if security of the Indo-Pacific was really the abiding priority, maybe it would have been better served being more inclusive, having whether it was India or Japan or South Korea. What have you made in terms of the composition of this grouping? And is it really something that, how much of this is about military technology sharing? How much of this is really about safeguarding security in the region?
You know, Anand, the fact is that the Indo-Pacific over the last few years has attracted so many different, formations, coalitions, whether it's the Quad, whether it's the trilaterals. India is part of several other trilaterals. It's working with the European Union. The EU has just announced an Indo-Pacific policy. India has a trilateral with France and Australia, for example. One with Indonesia and Australia. Australia has several trilaterals with others when it comes to the Indo-Pacific. So it shouldn't actually create such the kind of reaction we've seen. Perhaps would seem excessive when it comes to the U.S. announcement. But the U.S. announcement of AUKUS is different for a number of reasons. The first is, as you pointed out, that this goes a step ahead of, say, what the Quad is discussing today. The Quad discusses keeping a free and open Indo-Pacific. It discusses military exercises. It talks about connectivity, infrastructure projects that they can do jointly. It has these silos on climate change, on COVID, countering COVID, on critical technologies. But it is not this kind of a security framework, particularly since it is between treaty allies, which is Australia and the UK as allies of the US. The second part is that this is about a nuclear relationship. And remember that the US has always said that its own laws and regulations do not permit it to proliferate, to give this kind of technology out. The fact is that the last time they did share this kind of technology with the UK was more than half a century ago. So there is something different about this particular partnership. The third reason, and this should have been a clue, that the actual negotiations for this alliance went on for 18 months. But it seems that even the top level officials in many of the countries didn't know about it. The fact that the Australian Foreign and Defense Secretaries were in Delhi just a few days before this announcement was made, but they didn't themselves disclose that this deal was in the making, means that there was something very substantive that had to be kept away from the world until it was ready to be announced. I think all of these indicate that there is more than meets the eye to what AUKUS essentially is. And it is a very, very serious security strategic partnership in the Indo-Pacific that countries will have to unravel, learn more about. Prime Minister Modi will be in Washington. He will meet with Mr. Morrison. He is meeting with President Biden. And no doubt there will be discussions in the Quad format as well about what AUKUS means. But all the signs point to the idea that there is something more than meets the eye. And I think that's why you are seeing these reactions. France's reaction, for example, has been that this is duplicitous, that this is, quote, a stab in the back, essentially saying that while they were in negotiations with all three countries, really, on various issues, they had not they were not told about this alliance being in the making. We, in fact, know that External Affairs Minister Jaishankar even spoke to the French Minister, Mr. Drian, who has made many of these statements, giving the indication that India is inclined to also hear about what is France's real opposition to the deal, and whether that opposition is more than just losing a lucrative defense contract. If it is larger than that, is there a is there a feeling of being disconcerted in the European Union? Is the European Union itself uncomfortable with this? As Dinkar was pointing out earlier, there's the question of whether the US has essentially taken away this contract, this opportunity for manufacturing in Europe from what are essentially allies and partners of the United States. So there are repercussions beyond, obviously, the kind of reaction we have seen from China. We've seen Iranian leaders react as well to the kind of double standard, if you like, behind this alliance. The truth is that no matter how you look at the alliance, it is not possible to say this is just another formation in the Indo-Pacific. Clearly, this is something different, and I think the weeks and months ahead will tell us much more.
A final question to you, Suhasini. The other big event, of course, which we spoke about at the start of this podcast, is the Quad Summit. We will do another episode of InFocus podcast at the end of this week on the takeaways from the Quad Summit, and we hope Suhasini will join us for that as well. A final word, Suhasini, looking ahead to this first in-person Quad Summit as Prime Minister Modi goes to Washington. How much do you think that this AUKUS announcement may or may not have changed the texture of this summit that we're looking forward to? Or do you think that perhaps it'll just sort of exist in occupy parallel spaces, AUKUS on the one hand and what the Quad has planned for on the other?
Well, I'm sure on the face of it, it will all be very diplomatic. But the truth is that the AUKUS announcement itself, as you pointed out, 1 week before the actual Quad Summit and the signing of the defense partnership between US and Australia, between Mr. Morrison and Mr. Biden, is expected a day before the actual Quad first in-person summit. Both of those have taken away a little of the spotlight from the idea that the Quad countries were coming together, the leaders were coming together face-to-face for the first time. Beyond that, I do think the question will be about whether this strategic partnership is an exclusive one and essentially will mean that the US will conduct this kind of serious military partnership with its treaty allies in the Indo-Pacific, and what that means for what is the agenda for the Quad. As far as we know, the Quad, as I was pointing out earlier, has this kind of five-part agenda. There's the free and open Indo-Pacific. There is ensuring transparent and sustainable infrastructure connectivity in the region. There are the three silos of climate change, of countering COVID with a vaccine initiative, as well as dealing with critical technologies and resilient supply chains. These are all part of the formal agenda of the Quad. It now remains to be seen how this will in fact affect discussions behind the scenes, as well as what we will see in the outcomes. Can the Quad now have outcomes that match this one? It doesn't seem as if there have been any negotiations on that. And the last point I'll make, Anant, about how this could also spur a new conversation, and I think Dinkar was alluding to it, about who could be also new either partners of the Quad or in some way an expansion of the Quad to something larger. And there has been much talk about including other countries like New Zealand, by the way, New Zealand too has reacted badly to the AUKUS announcement saying it will not allow its waters to be used by these submarines. But New Zealand is certainly on the list for those who could be part of a Quad expansion if it ever happens. South Korea is on that list, Indonesia on the list, the UK is on the list, France possibly could have been on the list. So the question about whether there will be an expansion of the Quad, I think, will become even more relevant because of the AUKUS announcement.
Suhasini Haider, Dinakar Perry, thank you both so much for joining us today. The In Focus podcast will be back later this week on the takeaways from the Quad Summit, and we will keep you posted as well as more global reactions come in to the AUKUS grouping and how it goes forward. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Anand.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.